Okay, if you just joined us today, welcome to Member Solutions Teleconference. This month's topic is the top five milestones of 2005. My name is Melody Schumann, and I'll be your host today. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. I'm going to jump right into it, and let's just go ahead and review the top five milestones of 2005. We collected this information in these top five milestones according to all the information and feedback that we've gotten through our Member Solutions clients and also through our Schumann Concept clients. I spent a lot of time speaking and networking with people all over the country. As a matter of fact, our networking community spans across 9 countries with over 1,500 schools worldwide. So it definitely gives us a very good broad demographical market of martial arts schools. And with this broad demographical market, there are some consistent milestones that we have gotten feedback from that have proven to be very significant in 2005. So let's just go ahead and get started with milestone number one. The first milestone that we experienced, a lot of people saying that they had great success with, is the transformation of over 100 schools to age-specific training. That might not seem like a lot, but it definitely is a lot. And what I mean by transformation to over to age-specific training is the average martial arts school usually works with students between the ages of 6 to 12. It's very common here in my particular market, in my area here in St. Petersburg. It's very common everywhere else. But a lot of schools are starting to notice that there is a significant difference between a 6-year-old and an 8-year-old. For that matter, there's a significant difference between a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old. Not just what they can do on the martial arts floor, but also just in their overall stage of development. For example, students go through significant stages physically, intellectually, emotionally, and socially. These four different categories that children go through significant stages do make a difference in how they perform in the classroom. Not just how they perform, also how the other students respond to each other and how the instructor is able to run the class. As most of you guys know, I grand opened my martial arts school here in March of 2005. As a matter of fact, we have our one-year anniversary coming up. We jumped right into age-specific training from the very beginning. We have a 3- and 4-year-old program, a 5- and 6-year-old program. We have a 7- to 9-year-old program and a 10- to 14-year-old program. You notice that I've adjusted the ages a little bit there from last year, but we're noticing still the stages of development definitely apply to these groups the best. And all of our classes are back-to-back. There's a big difference from me teaching my 3- and 4-year-old class to jumping on the floor into my 5- and 6-year-old class. And then there's a big difference in my 5- and 6-year-olds to my 7- and 9-year-olds. And then there's another big difference from my 7- and 9-year-olds to my 10- to 14-year-olds, and then my 15 and up. So I noticed just the mood, the tone, the pace of the class are significantly different. And it's fine with me because the results are dramatic. I'm able to target each particular class with their stages of development, provide the most comprehensive material that generates results in their particular training. In the past, I can honestly say that when I was teaching classes, there were many days where I would have an assistant instructor or a junior leadership team member run the class, or I would run the class and I just wanted to get through the entire 45, 30 minutes, however long the class was. I can honestly say here at my new school that every single class I'm able to feel like I taught the best class I ever taught, and feel like every single student in that particular class has gotten a lot better from the class before. And the best way to ensure that every single class is your best class possible and that every student is getting a little bit better in each class is because we divide them up by ages. So over 100 schools have made that transformation. We've heard some fantastic results from school owners. Just to give you a couple of examples, one particular school in general from California was stuck at about 200 students for the last 4 years. For the last 4 years, they have not seen a dramatic growth in their student body count. Basically, what they did is they hit a particular plateau in their school's operations. The minute they changed their programs from having 3- to 6-year-olds, 7- to 12-year-olds, and 13 and up to the age-specific programs with the age groups that I just mentioned here a few minutes ago, they've jumped up to 369 active students as of January 1st, 2006. That's 169 more students that they put in their billing contracts, they put on their bottom line, they put in their student active count in 1 year after being stuck at 200 students for the last 4 years. Now, let me tell you the reason why. The reason why is because now they were able to, number one, establish a USP in their marketing community. What I mean by USP is a unique selling point. What makes your school different in your particular town than any other school in your area? I've got at least 25 schools in a 7-mile radius here in St. Petersburg, Florida. I've got a lot of very, very good martial arts schools in my area. And I came in here jumping in as a new kid on the block. How am I going to be able to separate myself from everybody else without having to share the market? What I mean by share the market is if you open up the newspaper and you see school number A, we teach martial arts for children. We teach martial arts for adults. Martial arts builds confidence. Martial arts builds self-defense. School B, well, me too. We teach kids. We teach adults. We teach self-confidence. We teach self-defense. School C, me too. That means you're sharing one particular market. What's different about our school is when we post our ads and we advertise in our direct mail pieces, in our flyers, door hangers, newspaper advertisements, we're saying we are the only school in St. Petersburg, Florida, that offers age-specific programs that target the stage of the development of each student group. Your 6-year-old and 12-year-old are not going to train together. We have 3- and 4-year-old classes, 5- and 6-year-old classes, 7 and 9, and 10 to 14-year-olds. That's what makes us different than every other school in the area. And that's why we have waiting lists on almost all of our programs here, and we haven't been open for a year. One of the reasons why, or the main reason why, is because we have that USP in our marketing area. Another reason, though, why this school has grown from 200 students to 369 students, not just because of their USP, but also they are able to go back to all their students in their inactive list, send them exit surveys, send them invitations to come in and check it out. Hey, you know, you liked our martial arts classes, then you kind of lost interest or other activities took your attention away, and I know you really liked our program. Guess what? Now our program is even better. If you liked what you did before, I can't wait to get you back into our school because now our classes are even more age-specific, and you're going to be training with kids your age and your age only. So they're able to get back a lot of their students that they had before. Definitely a very, very strong marketing tool. The final reason why they've grown from 200 students to 369 students in 1 year is because they're able to establish a very solid referral program. When you have buddy days and you have all these activities that try to invite students into your school, you have to have that little niche that makes them want to know, why am I coming with you to this school? What makes this school so special? So Johnny's 5 years old. He goes to preschool with a bunch of other kids. Moms are able to look over to their other friends who have kids in the same preschool and say, hey, you know what? On the Mat Martial Arts has this great Future Kids program. It's for 5- and 6-year-olds and 5- and 6-year-olds only. They don't have older kids in the class or younger kids slowing them down. You're really going to be impressed at the results that you can get out of training in this martial arts class. So it gives you a very, very, very solid marketing campaign to work around. That's milestone number one, and I can go on and on and on about milestone number one, but we need to go on so that we don't run out of time here. But, of course, if you have any questions, we'll hit them at the end of this teleconference. Milestone number two is the implementation of a comprehensive marketing plan. Kind of feeds off of this age-specific program. A lot of martial arts schools nowadays are now starting to put a lot of time, energy, and effort into a marketing plan. If you notice in the report I wrote, I had to admit 5 years ago I didn't have a marketing plan. As a matter of fact, I remember when I worked for NAPMA and I was on stage in front of 400 people telling people that I spent less than $500 a month marketing my business, and we had over 700 students. It's not possible anymore because our industry is changing, our economy is changing. Nowadays, you really need to have a solid marketing program, marketing plan. One of the reasons why is because, like I said, our economy is changing. Number two, our market is starting to grow. There's a lot of martial arts schools opening up right and left in every single community. You have to have that edge. You have to establish your presence. And the only way that you're going to have that edge and establish a presence is by creating a well-rounded marketing plan. Now, just to give you a really quick crash course on what I mean by a marketing plan is I don't mean saying, okay, well, let me run a couple of newspaper advertisements, then let me try to throw out a direct mail piece and see if they stick. And if it doesn't stick, then I'll throw out some VIP passes. I'm talking about writing down 4 or 5 areas that you can do in advertising, from direct mail, door hangers, flyers, newspaper advertising, whatever your budget can afford. then writing down 3 to 4 areas that you can do as far as networking. And what I mean by networking is I mean getting into those public schools to do a school speech, networking with local businesses so that they can help support your school. For example, going to your local hair salon, going to a local skincare therapy place and saying, hey, listen, would you mind donating maybe some free facials to all of my new students? I'll put them in my new member packets. That'll be an opportunity, number one, for us to give our clients some very good new member gifts, but also, number two, to help you acquire new clients. That way, when you run your open houses or your special events and you go back and you say, hey, you know, would you mind putting these flyers up? Would you mind passing these VIP cards out to your clients? They're going to say no problem at all. Other networking opportunities is participating in your local Chamber of Commerce. Now, I have to admit, in some areas, the Chamber of Commerce is not very good, but in St. Petersburg, Florida, we are very fortunate. We have one of the best Chamber of Commerces out there. I would say on the weekly basis, I get at least 7 emails from 7 different new businesses that are popping up in our area that are having ribbon cuttings and meet and greets. And any business that opens up in my area that I feel like I can go over there to their ribbon cutting, support their business, and try to network with them, I'm taking advantage of it. Also, there's always tons of luncheons. There's always nighttime gatherings. There's all kinds of events sponsored by the Chamber of Commerce, and I am right in the middle of them. I'm always getting involved doing speeches, whether it's speeches on parenting, speeches on child development. I'd like to consider myself an expert in those because we've had a lot of experience networking with a multitude of families in our community, and we're able to go out there as an expert in the field and give them a firsthand experience on what we see in different families of different demographical backgrounds so that we can relate to every single person who's listening. So it's a very good opportunity for you to not only get exposure for your school, but to establish a presence as an expert in your area. That leads me on to the next part of marketing, which is publicity. Remember, publicity is marketing. It's not just advertising. It's not just networking. Publicity is gaining exposure in the public without having to use advertising avenues. For example, one way to gain publicity is through your media, through press releases. If you're not consistently doing press releases, now is the time to do so. Here's what you need to do. Number one, you got to create a media list. Look at all your local publications in your area, from your local newspapers to your young adult newspapers. We have the Tampa Bay Times here, which is like a weekly planet that has all the good dining, all the good events and activities that people, families get involved in. And then, of course, your local newspapers, such as we have the St. Petersburg Times. Write down all the editors' names, addresses, phone numbers, email addresses, any kind of information you have. Then look at all your media outlets as far as television goes. Write down all the producers' names, addresses, contact information such as their email address, and create what I call a media list. My media list has at least 3 dozen contact names, email addresses, and phone numbers. So every time we do something fantastic, I drop the press release and I send it out to my media list. Even if it doesn't get published or mentioned, they know that, hey, I'm here, I'm making progress, and I want our community to know about it, because it's just going to take one little idea or one little press release where a producer or an editor doesn't have something to fill in their newspaper, or it's a particular topic that captures their attention, and they're going to write a fantastic article about it, and it's going to give you an opportunity to establish even more of a presence in your community. So publicity includes press releases. It also includes exposure by doing public demonstrations. If you're not doing public demonstrations, you got to start doing those. You have to show your product. Your students are your product. Them performing with good discipline, enthusiasm, and attitude. It doesn't have to be the flashiness. It does have to be discipline, though. You want to have your students go out there organized, saying, yes, ma'am, yes, sir, having a lot of confidence, having a lot of focus, having a lot of physical abilities that parents look over and say, wow, you know, I'd love for my child to be able to do that. Because once a parent looks at another child and says, that child has discipline, that child has courage, that child has focus, and man, that child's got some balance and some coordination, and I'd love my kid to be just like that, price no longer becomes an option, because a parent who wants to see their child better will not put a price tag on what it's going to take to get their child to that limit. So you got to keep that in mind, that public demonstrations are fantastic for your martial arts school, fantastic for your product. Going on to the final part of our marketing plan is customer service. You got to remember that taking care of your existing customers is marketing. because you don't want them to go out the back door. Number one, you definitely don't want them to go out the back door because you're not taking care of them as far as the appearance of your school. If your bathrooms are very dirty or your school is just always very dirty and very messy and very noisy and very negative and the atmosphere is just terrible, you're going to lose your students, which means you're going to have to market twice as much in your advertising, networking, and publicity avenues to make up for those students who walked out the back door. Well, you can limit that from happening by making sure that your school is always neat and clean. Give your school a makeover if you haven't painted your school in the last 2 to 3 years. Make sure that you have clean carpets. We have our carpets cleaned once a month. We have automatic air fresheners in our school that go off on a time. We have a professional cleaning company who cleans our school once a week. Our bathrooms are always neat and tidy. Anytime a little scratch or a dent in our wall that looks ugly or is kind of an eyesore happens, we fix it and we patch it right away, which does happen quite often, if I do have to say, between birthday parties and ninja nights and all the crazy things that we're doing on the floor. We're always denting our wall, bumping our wall, but we fix it right away because that's customer service. Even down to your advertising and your brochure material and your new student packets, all that is customer service. And if it's first class and comprehensive and professional, you're going to keep your students much longer. But let's go on to some other things that are customer service here. Number one, referral programs are part of your customer service. I recommend that you rotate your referral program every quarter. We do different ideas. Maybe one quarter we'll say, Every time you refer a friend, we give you $50 credit towards merchandise or activities. Sometimes we'll do a huge referral marketing plan and say, hey, guess what? If you refer a friend between now and March 30th, we're going to give you a coupon book with $250 worth of coupon vouchers to our school. You'll get free testings, free ninja nights, discounts on products and merchandise, even access to one of our day camps for free if you refer a friend. Other ideas for referral programs, just to keep going on because I want to try to make sure you guys get a lot of information, is the gift of time. We just did a referral program during the holiday season that said, hey, if you refer any friend between now and December 31st, we're going to put your name on the list. And December 31st, anybody whose name is on the list, we're going to take all you guys out to GameWorks in Tampa Bay, and we're going to play video games all day and have a good time. That's something that money can't buy. Students like to spend time with you. That's why they're there at your school. They think you're cool. They think you're great. You're their hero. You're their superstar. Every time you high-five them, every time you call a student by their name, or you sit down and you have a small little conversation with them, you're building their confidence. You're making them feel good. So imagine the impact that you can have on your students if you spend a whole day at an arcade playing video games and having a really good time with your students. That's where you build lifetime students. That's where you build those really good relationships. And that's when the parents really like you so much that they can't wait to tell their friends about your school when somebody mentions, I'm interested in putting my kids in some kind of activity that is going to keep them busy and keep them occupied. So keep that in mind. The gift of time is one of the best things you can do for a referral plan. Just really quickly, the reason why I got that idea is because I went to St. John's Catholic School charity auction, and they auctioned off principal for the day, where the highest bidder's kid got to spend the whole day with the principal, the entire day to see what the principal does all day at school. It went for thousands of dollars. I can't remember the exact dollar amount, but I know that it was over $1,500. One parent paid over $1,500 for their kid to be principal for a day. Same thing with your school. If you say, hey, look, whoever refers the most friends between now and February 28th, they get to spend the whole day with me. I'll take you on a $100 shopping spree, or I'll take you to the park. We'll hang out. Usually the parents get involved too. That's where you're really going to motivate kids. That's a good customer service. Just going on really quickly, other things that we do as far as customer service is you want to make sure you have a lot of events and activities going on at your school. You want your school not to be just to be a martial arts facility, but almost like a club, like a YMCA that always has activities going on, always has parent nights, always have seminars, always have girls' day out, boys' day out, bowling day, beach day. All those little things that you put into your calendar, that's where you're building good customer service. That's where you start to notice your school increase. We just did a bowling day for Mr. Carlos' birthday not too long ago. We only reserved 4 lanes because our school, of course, had only been open for 6 months, thinking that 4 lanes was going to be substantial. We ended up with 12 lanes. Everybody brought their friends, their parents, their family. So we had 12 lanes going on. I think almost every one of our students showed up. They all wore their on-the-mat T-shirts. So everybody who was not part of our group were looking over at us. They were seeing our on-demand T-shirts going, man, that's a really cool martial arts school. They obviously have a very good relationship. So that's another really good marketing tool, not just with keeping your student retention, but also with gaining exposure. You can even log on to my school's website and see for yourself at onthematma.com. Click on our media gallery and scroll down to Bowling Day and click on it. You could see the pictures. You could see how much fun our students had. They just had a blast. So that's fantastic customer service. Just to tell you, in my 90-day marketing plan from January to the end of the March, here's what we have on our calendar. We have a bowling day. We have a self-defense seminar. We have a girls' day out. We have a boys' day out. We have our one-year anniversary, and we have a buddy week. Also, we have a parents' night out, if I didn't mention that. We have 7 things on our calendar for the next 90 days that are just related towards customer service. So you got to keep in mind, think about that. 7 different activities as far as customer service. We've got all of these press releases that we're going to do for our free child safety seminar for our one-year anniversary. We have a lot of networking avenues open right now as far as local businesses in our community. And we have a very comprehensive advertising campaign as far as direct mail, door hangers, flyers, even special buddy day passes for our fun week. And I can't get into too much about that right now because I don't want to run out of time, but just to show you how comprehensive your marketing campaign can get, if you want to have those high numbers of enrollments, that's what it takes to do that, is by looking into a comprehensive marketing plan, and that's what a lot of schools did in 2005, and they got fantastic results. But let me move on. Milestone number 3 is branding. Martial arts schools, you got to remember now, branding is a new trend. It's a new fashion. Branding on clothing, if you look at all the different products that have their branding logo on everything, we brand everything that we possibly can. If I can put my on-the-mat logo on it, I'm going to put it on it. From pens, pencils, T-shirts, uniforms. Our equipment has our on-the-mat logo on it. Even the floor mats, when you walk into our school and you walk out the back door of our school, both entrances have this big black mat with the on-the-mat logo on it. My vehicle has a whole skin wrap, the on-the-mat skin wrap, so that when I'm driving down the road, people can see our logo. On-the-mat logo is everywhere. The bench in front of our shopping center has our on-the-mat logo. People know on-the-mat. Even if they've never driven by our school once, because we want to brand, we want to establish that brand name, On the Mat Martial Arts, here in our area. A lot of schools are branding nowadays. A lot of my clients that I've been working with are getting involved with branding even their vehicles with the skin wrap nowadays, because it definitely attracts a lot of attention. Place your logo on everything that you possibly can, because branding is a very, very big trend that a lot of people are seeing is very significant to their bottom line. We move on to the next milestone, the strategic use of a public relations director. I could spend a whole teleconference talking about my PR director. You know, right now, the way my staff works is I have my head instructor, and his job and his only job is to run the floor, run the class planners exactly the way I have them printed out for him. That's his only job. Then I have an office manager, and her job is to set up all of our events and activities, make sure that our customer service is highest quality, and, of course, she takes care of all the office procedures. But my other staff position that I feel like my school cannot live without is my PR director. She is phenomenal. Her job, her only job, is to make On the Mat the most happening place in St. Petersburg, Florida. She's got business cards, brochures, flyers, and basically she just is out in the community. When she's at lunch, she asks her server, do you live in the area? Do you have any kids? Are you interested in doing martial arts? I'm the PR director for On the Mat Martial Arts. Here's my business card. Do you have a business card? I'll keep it and I'll put you on my email list. So anytime we have some kind of special event or activity, I'll send you out an email notice. She does that to managers. She does that to her servers. Whenever she's at a store, whenever she has an opportunity to sit down and talk with somebody, she's going to tell them about On the Mat Martial Arts. Her other job is also to set up all of these external events and activities, such as school speeches, demonstrations, the Chamber of Commerce events. She's in charge of organizing all the fun stuff at our one-year anniversary. She's the one who's in charge of all the decorating. And, of course, her most important job responsibility, or the one that she takes the most seriously and she does the best at, is picture taking. She's got a digital camera with probably 2,000 pictures that she's taken already since On the Mat Martial Arts has been open. At any birthday party, at our parents' night outs, at our open houses, at our bowling days, she walks around with a digital camera and takes pictures of everybody. We use that for our media gallery. Not only do we do that, but she prints them all out, And then she comes to school when classes are going on and walks around to all the parents and hands them a picture. Hey, here's a picture of your daughter and Mrs. Schumann. Isn't it cute? And gives it to them. They're going to keep that. That's customer service. She's doing PR, public relations. She's making everybody feel like a family. Bev is also the one who, Bev is my PR director. She's also collected an email database of hundreds of email addresses from our friends, from even my personal friends, her personal friends, all of our family members, all of our students, our students' friends and families, and people who she's just met along the way and said, hey, give me your business card, and I'll put you on her email list. People are more than happy to give her a business card. Then she puts their information on an email list. Whenever we do a birthday party or we do a parents' night out, she sends an email to everybody, a mass email, and says, hey, just wanted you to know we did a birthday party for Cody last week. He just turned 10. Happy birthday, Cody, and attaches some pictures if you want to take a look at him. Or she'll send out an email list. Hey, just want to let everybody know that we have a master coming in town from Long Island, New York next month, and we're going to be running a self-defense seminar. It's free to all the OnTheMat members, and it's going to be $10 for any parents or non-OnTheMat members. I highly recommend that everybody attend. She also sends out email lists. Guess what? We have our one-year anniversary coming up. We have a bounce house, food, music, entertainment, prizes. All kinds of great things are going on. You got to be there. Bev is the sole responsibility or the sole person who I have to give credit to that had over 200 people at our grand opening. Bev is also responsible for having over 250 people at our six-month anniversary. I can't imagine how many people are going to be here for our one-year anniversary, but we're estimating 300-plus people. And it doesn't just have to be new prospects. It's all about bringing people together in a fun family environment. So all of my friends are going to be there. All of my family's going to be there. All my students are going to be there. All their family's going to be there. And then, of course, all of our prospects and people, like we're regulars at local restaurants, they'll show up too. One of the reasons why is because my public relations director does her job, and she does a very, very, very good job of that. So if you do not have a PR director yet at your school, I highly recommend you get one. Don't attach the responsibilities to anything else as far as teaching or internal, such as billing and contracts. Don't make that their responsibility. Just tell them, look, you're my PR director, and your job is to send out my media lists, my press releases, and just make OnTheMat be the most happening place in the community. You wouldn't believe in how many people would love to take that and run with it. And I have to tell you that right now, Bev's position is a volunteer position because that's what she loves to do. She's retired. She was in dentistry all her life, and now she retired. She wanted something fun to do. She's very social in the community, and she's really taking this job very seriously. As a matter of fact, it's not a job to her. It's a hobby. So don't be afraid that you have to pay somebody high dollars to be your PR director. You'd be surprised at how many people would love to do it for free. Moving on to the last milestone, this is, another milestone that I can do an entire teleconference on, and that is the institution of pre-qualifications. The 2 weeks plus the T-shirt for $19.95 is so burnt out that every single school in my area, I think, does it. And it's not substantial enough to really attract people to get into your schools. Basically, what we do when somebody calls and inquires about our program, the first thing that we say is we got to bring your child in to pre-qualify them, or we have to bring you in first and run you through a pre-evaluation. What this pre-evaluation is going to do is it's going to enable us to identify your strengths and your weaknesses so that we know how to conduct a program for you. Also, it'll help us see if you're ready for the group classes or not, especially for kids. Every single student who comes through my door has to be pre-qualified. Unfortunately, I had my most devastating pre-qualification last Tuesday. I had a 5-year-old who came in. He was referred by three of my top students in my school. He totally didn't pre-qualify for my classes. His attention span was terrible, his behavior was worse, and his attitude was awful. So he didn't qualify. And I told his mother, I'm sorry, he's not qualified for the group classes here on the mat. He started crying and making a scene. His mom started crying. Even the dad was kind of choked up. When they left, my heart was so broken. But at the exact same time, Carlos looked over at me and said, thank you so much, because I remember when I taught for you in Port Charlotte, and you would see one of those crazy kids like that kid step onto the training floor, and you look at me and say, okay, Carlos, you have to run the class. And I would hate running the class when they had those bad kids. I can tell you honestly, and I'm being very honest, and if you're my friend and you've been down in my school, you know I'm telling the truth, that I only have one student in my school right now that I really struggle with what I'm teaching class. And he is a student who is in our 7 and 8 year old program, and he's very spacey, and he's very sick, so his energy level gets really low. But that's the only kid in my school that I can say drops the momentum. All of my other classes, every single student in class, their behavior is fantastic. Their attitude is fantastic. We have perfect attendance with almost all of our students. I'm doing a teleconference tomorrow with Dwayne Brummett, a free teleconference on teaching children. And part of the process of the teleconference was to ask people to go ahead and submit their questions about teaching children. And Dwayne sent over to me the first 20 questions that people submitted. And half of the questions were, how do you handle those kids who are just bad on the classroom floor, who have ADD, who are very hyper, who don't pay attention, who drop the momentum of the class? And I'm looking at it going, man, well, you know what? I don't have any of those right now. One of the reasons why is because we have that pre-qualification method in our school. We help eliminate those students before they walk in the door. Now, I know what some of you guys are thinking, especially if you're a new school or you're a school that's on a very tight budget who can't afford to turn any students away because every dollar counts in your school. Think about it this way. For every bad student that you have on the floor, you're going to risk losing 3 to 5 students. I would rather a parent complain about me because I would not allow their disruptive student in my classroom than have 3 parents complain about me because their kid is so great, but I keep having to stop class to yell at this other kid. It doesn't happen anymore. Our classes are so results-driven. We have not, knock on wood, we haven't lost a student since October, which isn't very long ago, but to me that's fantastic because most students lose an average of 4 to 5 students per month. We haven't lost any students. One of the reasons why is because our classes are not only our classes great, but we eliminated all the reasons why students quit. Most of the time students quit because they've lost interest. One of the reasons why they lose interest is because your class is boring. One of the reasons why your class is boring is because you're spending so much time disciplining the students who fall out of line or trying to cater your class, drop the momentum of your class to a student who can't keep up with everybody else. I would rather put a student who didn't qualify into some kind of at-home training assignments or some kind of private lessons before I put them in the group class. The only way they can get into my group class is if I know that I won't have to drop my momentum for any particular student. So the pre-qualifications have been a very big milestone in 2005. Let me tell you another statistic that works really, that has proven a difference in 2005. For every single student that has qualified for my group classes, I have put them on my trial program, which is 2 weeks, a T-shirt, and martial arts training pants. It's $59.95. Every single student who's pre-qualified has gone on to my trial program, and every single student from March of 2005 to right now, it's the middle of January 2006, every student who's gone on a trial program has enrolled in my school. One of the reasons why is because we established that value. Parents know, okay, they're not trying to get my money. They're not just about getting money. They really understand my child, my student, and they really care about my student getting better. Let me just give you a couple of reasons why. Number one, when they come in for the pre-qualification, first thing I'm doing is seeing if they qualify for my group class. I'm also identifying their strengths and weaknesses so that I can take my pre-qualification form, sit down with the mom and dad after I evaluate the child and say, okay, these are your child's strengths. He's got very good upper body strength, very good lower body strength. He's very coordinated, and he's got great balance. Intellectually, he's also very smart. He was able to pick up some of these martial arts moves right away. Emotionally, these are where I see his weaknesses. He gets very frustrated if he can't do it right away. Also, another one of his weaknesses is socially. When he came in here, he was a little introverted. It took me a little bit to really pull him out of his shell. The minute he saw other people walking around the school, he went back into his shell. Martial arts is going to be fantastic for him because he's going to jump on that classroom floor, and because he physically and intellectually is going to be able to keep up with the class planners, you're going to notice his confidence start to go through the roof. You're also going to know his social capabilities and his social development is going to go through the roof because he's going to be interacting with other kids his own age in a positive social environment. He's going to be exposed to a multitude of different people, so his social skills are not going to be so introverted anymore. So martial arts is going to be fantastic for your child. Parents are like, where do I sign? You're exactly right. He is very shy. You're very right. He does get very frustrated. His confidence level and his self-esteem sometimes is very low. And I look at my child, and I know that he's physically talented, and I know that he's very smart. And this is exactly what I'm looking for my child. So thank you for pointing that out. I mean, that's the standard conversation that I'm experiencing here at my school. And one of the reasons why is because I already have the pre-qualification tailored to each particular age group, and I'm able to translate that to every single student. So that's another milestone of 2005. If you're just doing simple private lessons with intros, you may want to think about pre-qualifying them. That way you establish more value, number one, for your group classes, but also so you can translate how and why martial arts is good for that particular student. So keep that in mind. So that's I know I gave everybody an earful just now. That's the top five milestones of 2005. Really quickly, one more time, let me just go over them. Age-specific training, if you have 6 to 12-year-olds in the same class right now and you feel like you're running a roller coaster class where you have to slow it down for the younger kids and then you notice your older kids getting bored and then you have to speed it up and every day is a constant battle, think about the age-specific training. I could tell you honestly, or I could tell you with confidence, that Schumann Concepts has spent a lot of time, a lot of money, and a lot of effort into studying and researching the science and psychology of child development. And we have been able to target each particular age group as much as we possibly can, and we're getting better every single year. As a matter of fact, every testing cycle, my class planners and my testing requirements are evolving because I am trying to find the perfect formula for a martial arts program that generates results but is not too hard and, of course, it's not too easy. Going on to milestone number two, the implementation of a comprehensive marketing plan. Advertising, networking, publicity, customer service. Those four categories. If you select three or more ideas in each of those four categories and you aggressively pursue them and execute them for 90 days, you're going to see a significant result, significant growth in your enrollment, your reputation, your momentum of your school. I guarantee it. And if you need help, that's what I'm here for. Milestone number three, branding. If you don't have a logo, now's the time to get a logo. It's going to cost you some money. I paid almost $400 for my logo. I had a professional designer design it. But guess what? We have a very cool logo. It's everywhere. Our students like it. Every time we come out with a product, whether it's a sweatshirt, a T-shirt, a jacket with our on-the-mat logo, students are taking advantage of it. People are buying them up. So make sure you put your logo everywhere. You want on-the-mat martial arts, or you want whatever your name of your school is to be a household name. Milestone number four, the strategic use of a public relations director. I cannot live without my PR director. I don't want to say this too loud. I think I can get away without having my head instructor because I can always teach other classes and I can always train other instructors on the classroom floor. But I cannot do what my PR director does. I just do not have the time to go out into the community. Not only do I not have the time, but we are martial artists. Humility, although we do have a lot of confidence and a lot of ego sometimes, humility is something that we teach and something that we're kind of bred with too. And I'm not the kind of person who likes to call up a media station and brag all about our experiences and brag about what our program has done. And I don't always have the energy to go out there and set up carnivals and activities and go through all the red tape that you have to go through sometimes. My PR director, she does. She has tons of energy, and I tell you, she is the heartbeat of our school. So if you don't have a PR director yet, now's the time to think about it. Again, remember, as an advantage of being a Member Solutions client, you get complimentary teleconferences. Book a 20-minute consultation with me. I'd be more than happy to go over with you. Or better yet, join Schumann Concepts because we've got step-by-step reports on all of these milestones and more. Milestone number five, the pre-qualification method. I guarantee you, if you implement a pre-qualification trial program into your school, you're going to see your enrollments increase. I don't know by how many percents because I don't know how many enrollment turnovers you have right now, but I can tell you what, if you do it right, you almost get 100% enrollments for every single student who qualifies for your program. I can guarantee you that. So keep that in mind. These are five things that you seriously want to sit down with your staff, take a look at, brainstorm, and see which ones fit your program and see which ones you can implement as soon as you possibly can. So that is the very first teleconference that we're running here in January. I hope that it provided you with a whole bunch of information. You guys know that my goal every single time I do a teleconference is to make sure that you guys walk away not only with a whole bunch of information but very motivated. So hopefully everybody's very motivated right now, ready to kick some butt in 2006. I know I talked a lot just now and I covered a lot of information, so hopefully I covered all of your questions. But if you do have any questions, now's the time to go ahead and fire away. So if anybody has any questions, let's go ahead and ask them right now, and I'd be more than happy to answer them for you. Does anybody have any questions?
Hello? Can
yes.
you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, this is Sean Racky from Unified Taekwondo.
Hi, Sean.
I have a question. I have a couple questions. My first question is, I find that doing age-specific training is kind of difficult because of the amount of classes we teach and the curriculum that we teach. So I'm wondering, like, I split things up the traditional 7-12, and I have it according to, like, beginner, intermediate, advanced. How do you find that method opposed to the other method, which you're talking about age-specific?
I think I kind of missed part of that. There's a little noise in the background. You said that you have your 7 to what split up?
Well, I do the traditional way that you were talking about before.
7 to 12-year-olds, beginner, intermediate,
right.
and advanced?
So we do beginner, intermediate, advanced. How do you think that is, I mean, each one of it seems to have its benefit, you know? So I'm just wondering why you chose to do age-specific training as opposed to rank-based putting up the classes.
Very, very good question. Let me tell you why. Number one, it's just the entire momentum and attitude of the class. When I step onto my 7- and 8-year-old class, the way I organize my warm-ups, the way I organize my drills, they're all targeted towards their specific age. The same thing when I jump into my preteen classes, my 10- to 14-year-olds, I jump on that floor with a totally different attitude. When my 7- and 8-year-olds are more passive, I'm more sensitive. I'm more explanatory when I'm talking about the techniques. When I jump onto my preteen class, it's high energy. It's everybody standing at attention. Let me see, no moving. It's a lot of push-ups, a lot of sit-ups, a lot of exercise. Just I'm really kicking their butt. It's just an entirely different mood because 7- and 8-year-olds are still at that passive stage of development. Once you start getting into the preteens, that's where they don't want you to sit down and be passive or sensitive. They just want to go, 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 go. There is a dramatic difference. I guess, like I said, I can go on and on about how I feel the difference. I would rather have all ranks in a 7- and 8-year-old class so I can run them all through warm-ups, and then I could just split them up in groups according to their ranks, then have 7- to 12-year-olds of one rank because you still have to split them up in groups because 7-year-olds can't keep up with 12-year-olds. It's just a totally different stage of development, what they can do compared to 12-year-olds. Say, for example, you have 2 7-year-old purple belts and 2 12-year-old purple belts working side by side. Those 7-year-olds are not going to be able to do the same technical applications that the 12-year-olds can, so you're spending more time slowing down your explanations for them, and the 12-year-olds are standing there getting bored, going, why are these little kids in my class? They're slowing it down. They're stupid. Whatever they're thinking in their head, because that's what they are thinking. I don't mean to be so blunt about it. It's just an attitude fixer. When you have 7- and 8-year-olds, on the other hand, in one class, you don't have that attitude fixer because you don't have those 12-year-olds feel like they're being slowed down by the 7-year-olds. And at the same time, you don't have the 7-year-olds feeling like the 12-year-olds are going too fast or the class is too hard. Remember, the number one dropout age and rank in the average martial arts school is the 7-year-old green belt, which is usually mid-level. And the reason why they're dropping out is because the program's getting too hard. The second largest dropout age and rank for martial arts schools are 12-year-old green belts. And the reason why they're dropping out is because the class is getting too easy. So basically what we did is we fixed that broken link by having the age-specific training. But, you know, I can sit down and I can discuss with you scheduling and I can help you overcome all those objections that you have about the age-specific programs in a 20-minute consultation. So if you're really interested in doing it, I've helped, like I said, over 100 schools make the transformation. So I'd be more than happy to sit down with you and at least get you through the initial steps.
Okay, my other question is you said milestone number 2. Can you hear me still?
Yes, I can.
You said advertising, networking, publicity, and I didn't get the fourth one. Was it marketing?
Customer service.
Customer service, okay.
Customer service.
Now, here's another question for you. My other question was, you talked about getting rid of the crazy kids. You know, I have an issue in that sense. I have a couple of those right now, actually, and I see what you're talking about. And I've actually had a couple good students quit. You get mad because you always seem to be left with the bad ones, and the good ones go away because they don't want to deal with the bad kids. But same token, I feel like we have responsibility to society not to throw discard kids because they have ADHD or Asperger's disease or these other disease processes.
Right.
I mean, what do you do in those situations? You know, you can see it's very difficult. You, parents come in, you can tell. They, a lot of times they sneak attack you, or Pearl Harbor, they'll sit there and they'll come in without the kid. The kid will come in, you know, afterwards, he'll be behaved for a couple of weeks, and after that he's an absolute crazy nightmare. Or, you know, how do you get him on a program? You know, like my philosophy is if the parent's willing to be part of the solution, then I'll take that student. But if the parent's not willing to be part of the solution, then I won't accept that student.
Absolutely. Let me see if I can answer this question as best as I possibly can.
So how do you adjust, you know, morally I feel like, you know, throwing a kid away because he has a problem.
Well,
you
don't throw them away, and let me cover this first. I would say that, and I'm being honest here because I feel like I've been in the child research field ever since I worked at Disney. I would say 20% of the kids who have ADD, ADHD, or Asperger's disease, I am not qualified to teach. Children who have super ADD, ADHD, or Asperger's disease, a lot of them require professional attention and more of an individual basis. That's just basically what it is. So I'm not afraid to look at a student, pre-evaluate them, and visualize, is this student going to be able to participate in a group class and be able to keep up without me yelling at them or disciplining them, which is going to drop their confidence, drop their motivation, embarrass their parents, not to mention the other students. And if that answer is no, if they are not going to be able to do it, then you got to think and you got to be honest and say, look, I'm not qualified to teach your child in a group environment. I recommend, number one, that maybe you get a little more professional assistance with them if they haven't already. If they are, another thing you can do is you can put them on private lessons. There's a couple of kids that I do work with privately who have ADD and ADHD kids. I'm not telling them that I won't work with them. I'm just telling them that I will not subject them to a group environment that could be very retroactive for their growth and development. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Okay, and I know people say morally, yes, it's a double-edged sword. That's one reason why we're doing martial arts. You have to decide personally for yourself. I'm just telling you what I prefer to do, but you have to decide personally for yourself what your goals are for your martial arts school. Is your goal to help out the students with ADD, ADHD, the problem kids, the serious problem kids, and help reshape their life? Or is your goal to take the average child in the community and make them as best as they possibly can? My job, instead of being a professional targeted towards the super ADD, ADHD kids, I would prefer to focus on the average child in our community and help them become the best that they possibly can and leave the other kids to more professional people, people who have PhDs working with those people, working with those particular kids. So hopefully that answers your question as far as the moral basis goes. It doesn't mean that I hate those kind of kids and I'm too good for those kind of kids. It just means that I'm not qualified to work with them in a group environment. I personally don't have the knowledge or experience or the skills to keep them in a group environment and be able to maintain quality in the entire atmosphere. Now, that leads me on to, I think, your next question of what you said is, now that I do have a lot of students who are extremely destructive in the school, who do affect the retention of my school because other kids are leaving, what do I do with them? Well, you notice I said quality in the classroom a couple of times. We have what's called a quality guarantee. We guarantee our students that we're going to provide the highest quality martial arts classes and the most positive martial arts training environment possible. If you feel within the first 90 days that the classes are not as high as quality as they possibly can with the highest quality atmosphere, we will refund your money. We have a 90-day money-back guarantee. We're the only school in the area that offers a 90-day money-back guarantee. That's upwards of over $300 that I could be putting my money on the line. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. So in order for me to be able to offer a 90-day money-back guarantee and have this quality guarantee, I have to have a process for eliminating anything that affects the quality. And that does go back to students who have behavioral problems, students who have discipline problems. If a student is in class and their behavior is so bad that even all of my personal skills and knowledge and abilities of working with kids are unable to keep them in a disciplined manner, and that I have to kick them out of class or I have to put them in timeout if they get a strike. Second time they do it, not only do they get a strike on their card, which is a permanent strike, but they get a conference with me, the student, and the parent. And I sit the parent down and I say, look, I have a quality guarantee at my school, a 90-day money-back guarantee to all these students. I'm putting my money where my mouth is. I'm putting my business on the line, saying that I have this high-quality environment. Unfortunately, your child right now is so disruptive that it's affecting that quality, which means that I could potentially lose business. So we have to get it under control if your student's going to continue training.
But
third time the student does it, they're out of the school. I revoke their membership.
Okay, so third strike.
It's called the three strikes rule. Three strikes rule, and if you're using transformational vocabulary, it's called the quality guarantee.
Third strike out, and would you say removed from the school or?
Removed from the group class. Because you can put them on a personal training regimen or a private lessons.
My question is, so how do you handle that? When you get because sometimes you get these parents that know their kids are out of control, and you want to help them. The parents are great. The kid has just got a lot of issues, and you just can't seem to get it together. Or you got a parent that's just very aggressive. How do you handle all that?
That's a very good question.
Yeah.
I mean, it just all comes down to with you being honest. And being pure and being real and being confident and bringing the parent in the office. And I had to do this yesterday, not with the student, but because their one-year-old keeps running on my floor during class. I had to bring the parent in the office and say, look, I've had a lot of parents complain about your child running on the floor. I can't keep running classes like this. You're going to either have to have a babysitter watch your child, or I'm not going to be able to let your daughter take class because it's affecting the other students. Same thing with kids who are bad. I would bring a parent in the office and say, look, I like you guys. You're a great family. You know, Peter, he is a sweetheart. He's a very good kid, but when he's in a group environment, his energy level starts to go through the roof. It's affecting my class. I can't have it anymore. I have to give you a second strike, and if it happens again, unfortunately, he's not going to be able to take karate anymore. I had a kid punch me in the face yesterday, as a matter of fact.
Oh, my Lord.
I had a little five-year-old punch me in the face because he was yelling at his mom. I walked over, and I told him he couldn't do that. I took his belt off, and he punched me right in the mouth. I had to kick him out of my school.
Yeah.
And their father is a pediatrician. He's very prominent in our area, and they just booked a birthday party for next week with over 30 kids. I still had to put my foot down and be honest.
You have to draw the line.
Absolutely. You know, I'm only 29 years old. I remember when I first broke 700 students. I believe I was 24, 25 years old, and we had just broken 700 students. We were doing close to $80,000 a month, and I was at the point where I didn't want to do martial arts anymore. We were making a lot of money, but it was because I was getting burnt out. I never taught class. I just didn't really like it. And one of the reasons why is because of all the bad kids. And I'm, like I said, I'm still only 29 years old. I want to do martial arts forever. I want to be able to love coming in every day and teaching classes. If you have those bad kids in your class, you're not going to want to do it every day. You're going to pawn it off on your leadership team or pawn it off on your instructor. But guess what? Eventually, your leadership team's not going to want to do it anymore. Eventually, your head instructor's not going to want to teach those classes anymore with those bad kids. So down the road, one day, your business is going to suffer if you don't eliminate those things that can affect your business in a negative way. I hope that answers your question.
No, I've been struggling with a lot of that. I mean, I've been teaching martial arts for a long time, and I just, one of the things you look at is that right there, and you go, where do you start to define what your goal is or what your mission is and what parameters you're going to fall under. And how I want to have great classes. That's one of the things I got really frustrated in the new year. I just found that, the classes were suffering because of some issues. Maybe some of it's age specific. I don't know yet. But I look at the numbers too. But I see that when you diversify the numbers, it's harder to get the teenage market or the preteen market as opposed to the other market, the elementary market, so you have a lot more kids there. So justifying a whole separate class for an age group that's not as many students, I wonder about that. And I also have an after-school program, which also affects that whole situation too. And then the parents want convenience. They got a 7-year-old and a 9-year-old, and they don't want to have to come to do different days to get their two kids to go to class.
Well, it definitely is a project, especially if you if you're going from having a variety of age groups together to going to age specific. It's not something where next month you just say, hey, here's a new schedule. It takes about 90 days of planning and structure. It's work. It's almost like opening up a brand new school. But it is very possible, and there are professional people out there like myself who can help you every step of the way. You will see significant results at the end. I can tell you, in my particular school, we started with age-specific programs from the very beginning. I have not once had a parent complain and say, well, I have a 9-year-old and a 3-year-old, so I'm coming at different times on different days. They understand our school is age-specific. We have it there for a reason, and they don't complain about it. And I tell parents.
I've been trying to make the shift to that, like as far as some parents go, well, you know, I'm coming to class, and I have an adult class, and I come to the 6 o'clock class, and my son is intermediate now, and he's going to a Tuesday class. Anyway, I can switch it around. I said, well, really, I said, we could, but his training would suffer, and that's the reason why you're here.
You're exactly right. You look at a parent, you say, would you prefer more quality in their martial arts training and more value and benefits out of the martial arts training, or would you prefer convenience? Those who prefer convenience, I would refer them to another school down the road. Those who want the quality, you're the ones that I want at my school.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
Great questions. Thank you very much. I appreciate
that.
Wow, this was, our longest teleconference so far. Does anybody have any other quick questions before we wrap it up here?
Yeah, Melanie, I got a couple questions.
Okay.
Hi, this is John over from Michigan at Supreme Technical Center. Coach.
Hi, John.
just kind of off topic a little bit. How many classes do you run a day?
Let's see. I have, what's today, Wednesday? I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 classes.
Okay. Now, I'm assuming that you probably have two gyms, two separate
yes.
training mats.
No, I do not. I have one training mat.
Really?
Yes.
What time do you start your classes?
Well, we got morning classes. We've got kickboxing in the morning. We have a noon class. And then our kids' classes are 3 and 4 is at 4 o'clock. Our 5 and 6-year-olds is at 4:30. 7 and 8-year-olds is at 5:15. 9 to 12-year-olds is at 6 o'clock, our adult class is at 6:50, and then our yoga class is at 7:40.
So how long do your classes run then, generally?
8 and under classes are a half hour long, 9 and up are 45 minutes.
Okay.
And we do leave a 15-minute gap in between our classes. That way, if our classes do run a little bit longer, that's cool. All
right.
So 9 and up is, 9 to 12 is 45 minutes?
Yeah, you know, I'm saying 9 to 12, but we're changing it to 10 to 14. I'm just looking, reading off my schedule, which month
so
I have to
what
change.
What are you going to do, 7 through 10 or something?
7 through 9.
7 through 9.
And then 10 to 14, and 15 and up.
So 7 through 9, and 10 through 14.
Mm-hmm.
What is your adult time frame?
Time frame or age group? The class is 45 minutes. We do have an hour gap for our adult class. My adult classes usually only last 45 minutes because right now our adult class is primarily just young adults. A lot of them are my friends. It's a high intensity, very dynamic class, and after 45 minutes, they're falling on the floor. We usually end class promptly at 45 minutes.
So adult class at 45 minutes.
Mm-hmm, yes.
Okay. And another thing, what do I need to do to set up a consultation with you?
You can call your member solutions representative, and they will go ahead and book you.
Okay.
If not, you can send me an email, and I'll book you. Let me give you guys my email address, just in case you guys have any additional questions after this. My email address is Melody, M-E-L-O-D-Y, at ubill.com.
Now, is that case sensitive there, Melody?
No, it isn't.
Okay.
Okay, does anybody else have any questions before we wrap it up? All right, well, don't forget, you can book a 20-minute consultation with me. There's a lot of things that we can do collectively as a team in the martial arts industry to take this martial arts, the martial arts schools to a whole new level. I can tell you that I am here to provide you with as much guidance, support, motivation, and information as possible. So make sure that you call your Member Solutions representative, book your 20-minute consultation. Don't be afraid to book those consultations. Member Solutions has gone way out of their way to acquire my services, to acquire Renshi Alley's services. I have time slots in my schedule. I would love to speak with each one of you. Even if you don't have a specific question, you just want to talk, tell me about your school. We can brainstorm to see maybe what your next idea, your next innovative project is going to be. I'm here to help you guys. Also, don't forget that you can email me anytime. I'd be more than happy to help you out. We also have a lot of information, resources, and materials available for you. SchumannConcepts.com is almost at 100 step-by-step reports from how to run a birthday party to the pre-qualification charts and class planners. There's also age-specific manuals available. We have a premier coaching program available. We do instructor certification seminars. The most important thing is the minute you stop educating yourself, you stop growing. So if you're knowledge thirsty, there's a lot of information available for you out there. You just got to take advantage of it and take action. The sooner you do, the better, the quicker you'll be able to experience results. So thank you guys very much for the first teleconference of January 2006. I always appreciate your support. I always enjoy speaking with you guys. Really quickly, I am doing a free live teleseminar tomorrow with Dwayne Brumman, a good friend of mine, on how to improve your children's programs. If you're interested in getting on that teleconference, email me at melody@ubuild.com, and I will send you over the link. That's going to be another great teleseminar that hopefully will provide you with a lot of information, ideas, and motivation for 2006. So you guys have a great week, and I will speak to you guys next month. Take care.
I'm Melody. Thanks.
Thank you.